Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of freedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readers of freedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a very nice today. And from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to turn back the Wayback Machine, and this is what I did. If you look at today's archive show for Declare Your Independence, January 12th, the radio and the video version, we'll have it up video also. What we did is we brought in Jack McLam. Now, Jack McLam and I have known each other for a long time, since mid-90s, I think. And what happened was, at the time, he was publishing The Police and Military Against the New World Order. He's responsible for Vampire Killer 2000, Aid and Abet newsletter. There's a great story behind that. Now, what I did is I put on today's archive, you can see all of the radio shows that we did. We tried to get as much, I want to get his whole story in, and we kept going until we did. So we had, back in 2003, when I first started doing radio, I wanted to get this in the archive, and I put the links to them on today's show. And you'll see it was April 7th, 2003, April 16th, April 23rd, May 7th. We did again in May 28th. So what was that? Five shows that we did because I wanted to archive his history up to that point. Well, it's 15 years later or more. Now, Jack and I have talked before. We've done other shows also, but these are the shows that archive. So we have forever and always Ernie and Jack talking it up, where he came from. I'll let you know this. He was the original officer friendly. I mean, that's what he represented. It's also what got him in trouble. You know, what happens when you got to do this and be that and go violate this guy's rights? And he goes, yeah, there's that Constitution thing. Didn't I take an oath? I'm not playing. Well, then he started communicating with other law enforcement and military and what was happening. And you're going to be the tip of the spear for the enforcement of this New World Order thing that's coming. New World Order? What's that? You crazy. Crazy man. All of a sudden, he's not so crazy anymore. Now, what happened was yesterday, for Jack is on the line. I got you there, Jack?
I'm here, brother.
Okay, now let me tell you what happened yesterday. We had a police trainer in a state back east. He's seen the light. His son, West Point graduate. He was in Iraq. And I tell you, after the show, we found out what was his big epiphany. He had read Atlas Shrugged back in when he was 20 years old, years ago in the 70s or whatever. And his son goes to him and he says, or when he was, I guess that would have been, he's about my age, so I bet it was about 1980. And his son asked him, he goes, Dad, have you ever read Atlas Shrugged? And he goes, yeah, a long time ago. I think I got a copy around here somewhere. And he goes, send it to me. Everybody's saying I should read it. A couple of weeks later, he called his dad and he said, Dad, you got to read this thing again, man. So he read it again. He read it a third time. It described exactly what's coming. Because Ayn Rand was no fool. She came from the Soviet Russia, and she could see the same things that were happening here. Out of a 1,000-page novel, when I read it in 93 about, all of a sudden, everything that she had written was about a third of the book. It was probably, you know, factual up to about 300 pages. From the time that she wrote it to the time that I read it, we only had about 100 pages to go. And now it's getting to where we're at the very end of the book with this area denial weapons kind of stuff, microwave and all that kind of stuff. That was kind of the end of the book where, you know, the police state be a here. So there's a guy that was training police officers for 13 years. And he just like, man, it's getting bad. The standards for these guys are down, what they're expecting from them. Whatever that comes out of the academy, once they hit the line, all that stuff goes out the window. So now with your vast experience as, you know, the most highly decorated Phoenix police officer, Mr. Officer Friendly and all this, being a good guy, you were warning all of us. And I remember as a young man in the early 90s, you're like, let me tell you what's coming. Well, it's here. So I want you to talk now, when you left Arizona, because we got all this other history already up on today's site, so we got you for a short time, for an hour here, so I want to go ahead and get right from there to where we are now. You left Arizona, why and where'd you go?
Well, brother, I left Arizona because Colonel Bo Greitz found a place to build our constitutional communities up here at Idaho County, Idaho. And he and I were up at the Weaver House. You remember doing the negotiations for the FBI with the Weaver family up there in Sandpoint.
Ruby Ridge.
And we liked the area. It was very beautiful. And although the tragedy happened up there, we saw 150 government agents surrounding a house with three children in it, and a mom and dad, and their son, their adopted son, in it that they'd already shot. And they already shot and killed the mother in the face, and the FBI sniper did that.
While she was holding her baby.
Yeah, while she was holding her baby. And then they shot and killed his son. His young son, which he was about 11 years old, but he looked like he was about 9 years old. And so they shot and killed him. The FBI, or the U.S. Marshals did, that were staking out their house. And so we went up there, and we liked the area. It was beautiful, even though the tragedy was occurring at the time. And if Colonel Bo and I hadn't got up there, the whole family would have been killed, because they were planning to blow up the windows, the doors, and go in and kill the whole family so they couldn't testify in court about what happened up there. And so Colonel Bo and I went up there. And the real nice FBI senior commander allowed us to go up and talk with Randy Weaver and his family for 3 or 4 days. I think it was about 3 days. And we were able to talk him out and his family. And Bo was able to carry the body of his wife out of the house, and she'd been shot in the face and blew half her face off by an FBI sniper, Lon Herucci. And at the same time, I took the adopted son by helicopter to Spokane to the Sacred Hearts Hospital up there because he had a serious injury to his lung and his right arm, left arm. And his left arm was swollen up the size of my leg. And so he had great infection in it.
And now, there was a young boy that was killed right off earlier, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. Sammy Weaver was the one that was 11 years old, and he looked like he was about 9 years old. He's very small. Sammy Weaver was.
While they were descending on the home, he happened to be out hunting or whatever with his dog. They killed him and his dog, and then it began.
That's right.
And,
that's
you right. know, and eventually it went to trial, and Jerry Spence was the attorney, and they won a settlement. Not only were they found not guilty, they got a settlement from the government. So,
yes.
So that's why you're up there. You found a nice place. When we come back, we're going to find out where he's at now, what's going on.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
All right.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube, what do I see? A whole lot of people crying, don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy too fat. Get over it. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We're just here trying to make sure that... we understand what's going on. One of those guys that have been helping us understand what's going on, what's been helping us understand what's going on from the beginning has been Jack McLam. Now, it's been, just make sure it's not popping, whatever. Just man it for a little bit. What we're going to do is I want to make sure that Jack is able to express himself in such a way that he can explain to us how the, you know, I wouldn't say the first wave, but a previous wave of patriots, freedom-oriented activists, people that understood, that were trying, that were ringing the bell. What's going on? Here we have Ruby Ridge, Bo Greitz, which in 92 had run for president. And they got a lot of attention and exposed a lot of things. They said, oh, we don't want people knowing about this stuff. So during that time, Jack McLam and Bo Greitz worked together a lot. They went to Idaho during the Ruby Ridge standoff and were able to de-escalate that down where some people survived and the government got held accountable, except, you know, Lon Horiuchi, I mean, they all the snipers and so on, they went from there, they went to Waco. They killed people there. And then now they're endorsing firearm manufacturers. You know, now Lon Horiuchi is like, yeah, want to kill people? You know, buy my gun. I mean, you know, so I'm just, wow, man, it just never stops. So what happens is that now we're looking at, I want to get right to it, Jack, is that you decide that you found a place that you want to move up to. Why did you want to move?
Well, because I saw so many bad things happening in Phoenix. I worked my whole career in the war zone of South Phoenix. And I am the most highly decorated officer in the Phoenix Police Department, but I'm also the most fired officer in the Phoenix Police Department. And Chief Ruben Ortega was trying to get me killed because when I was fired three times and they kept putting me back to work, the Civil Service Board of Phoenix kept telling the chief that I had a right to refuse not to do things criminal that I was being ordered to do in the Phoenix Police Department, like get together in a big room, somebody that was had their rights violated last night, was going to sue the department, so he told us to get together in a big room and get all of our police reports the same. And I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, I'm going to write my police report of exactly what happened, and he got ticked off at me and fired me for disobeying a direct order. And then he told me to go home and get the list of...
Your aid and abet newsletter list.
Yeah, my aid and abet newsletter list, and turn it over to him. And I figured because the feds wanted that list so they could start executing the soldiers and police that were on my list. And that's exactly what this other organization is doing today. I'm trying to think of the name of it.
So by not giving up your list, that, you know, they, and what was the list to? I mean, what were you sending to whom?
Well, I was sending the newsletter to all these police and soldiers, and they wanted that list so they could start going around and executing them.
And what was in the newsletter?
What'd you say?
What was in the newsletter?
Well, it was teaching them their oath of office that they took to the American people, not to the government of the United States.
The original Oath Keeper, Jack McLam.
Yes, and Oath Keepers, I'm sad to say, is making lists right now. They had over 1,200 soldiers and police officers on the list here about a year and a half ago, and I'm sure they've got several thousand now. And I got a hold of Stuart Rhodes and told him that he's going to get his door kicked in one day if he's not working for the government. And they're going to take that list and they're going to go around and start executing all these people. And he didn't care, you know, so he has kept on signing up police and soldiers who will refuse to obey the New World Order. And so I'm sad to say that Stuart Rhodes is not concerned at all about having his list taken from him.
Well, it gets to the point, you get into our age bracket and understanding of the internet, it's almost impossible to be secret anyways. If you're going to be on the list, you're better off be on top of the list. And you're definitely on top of the list, so you're still breathing.
Yeah, that's right. But I pray every day, and God has protected me tremendously. I've had attacks on my life, but back to the police department, after I came back, after the third time I was fired, Chief Ruben Ortega gave the order out to the department, to all 2,500 police officers, that if Jack McLam calls for a backup in South Phoenix, don't go. If you go, you're going to be fired. And so for 5 years, I worked without a backup in South Phoenix and was beat up a number of times and had some critical injuries. And on a Sunday one day before I was medically retired, I ran into a drug smuggler, illegal alien out of Mexico, who was stealing the battery out of another car because his battery went dead. And I got in a big fight with him, physical fight, and injured my shoulder again, my neck, and my back again. And so I was holding on to his leg. I had an arm lock on his foot, and he was dragging me down the street on the sidewalk. And another Phoenix police officer came by and saw this Phoenix officer being dragged down the street on the foot of this guy. So he stopped and helped me. He didn't know I was Officer Jack McLam. And we arrested the illegal alien drug smuggler out of Mexico and put him in jail. And I went to retirement. The city of Phoenix doctors said that they knew that Ruben Ortega was trying to get me killed. And so they had treated me so many times for injuries and the neck, back, and shoulder injury, the right shoulder injury. So they decided they were going to retire me out. They weren't going to send me back to work because the chief was trying to get me killed. And so the chief, Phoenix chief, Ruben Ortega, fought me for a month on my retirement because he wanted me to die. And so after a month, though, for some reason, he acquiesced to having me retire out of the department. And so I also was with other police officers in Phoenix and saw the most criminal prosecutors, the prosecutors that would destroy evidence, manufacture evidence.
We know how bad it is. We know how bad it is. Now, I need you to help me focus on this. When we come back, Idaho. I want to know about Idaho. You went to Idaho.
Okay.
And we'll get to that when we come back here in just a little bit.
All right, brother.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. We're on the line with Jack McLamb. This is, you know, it's all a great story, Jack, and I tell you, that's why I put up the archive. We can spend all of our hour on the history, and I put that up there. There is an enormous amount of history. It's already archived. What I need is from the end of the last time that we talked in 03-04, and we archived this, you and a lot of people that supported you decided, you know, we want to be somewhere else. And you chose Idaho because you'd been up there and you saw the opportunities there. And so who went with you and why there? What particular place did you go?
Well, brother, can I finish my statement that I didn't get to finish before we went to the break?
Go ahead.
Let me make that statement here. We police officers saw the most evil criminal prosecutors be promoted up to judgeships, the ones that would destroy evidence, manufacture evidence, and we knew all of this, and they would pay people to get on the witness stand and lie to put somebody in prison. And they were the ones that were getting the judgeships, and any honest prosecutor couldn't get a judgeship in Arizona. And so I didn't know if that was happening around the country, but it was happening in Arizona. We saw that, and we saw all the criminals, prosecutors that were actually criminals themselves, getting judgeships. And now we understand it's all over the United States that this has been happening. And so I went with Colonel Bo Greitz up to Kamiai, Idaho, because the Indians had told us that Indians in Idaho had told us that they would always go to Kamiai, Idaho to set up their teepees because in the wintertime it was the most mildest place to be in Clearwater, Idaho, here on the Clearwater River. And they could make it through the winter without freezing to death. So they would come here to Idaho County, Idaho to set up their teepees. And then they wouldn't fight with each other, and then they would go back to Washington State and to Colorado and to Montana and start fighting with each other again. But they would live throughout the winter together here peacefully. And so Bo and I decided that we thought one day there was going to be a war here between the communist government that we have today and the people. And so we wanted to be able to escape and evade into the forest and not freeze to death in the wintertime. So we decided Idaho County would be the place to be and to set up our constitutional communities. And so that's what we did. Colonel Bo moved up here, and I'm within viewing distance. I can see his home from here, from my home, and we set up these constitutional communities. But interesting, we had constitutionalists come in that were really, really radicals and criminals many times, and we got a bad name for ourselves up here when we brought in these criminal constitutionalists that wanted Bo to start the war with the United States government, but he said that's not why he moved up here. And so he didn't do that. And so they left, praise God. And so now we have a very nice community up here. We also started Christian communities, and we have two Christian communities up here, and you have to be a born-again Christian to move into that community. And so we're functioning very well up here. We have groups now that are getting together twice a month and talking about what's going on in the country, and we're just about to start a third group of survivalists. and talk about how to survive the days ahead. And so anyway...
Well, let's talk about that, the days ahead. What is it that you think that we're going to need to survive? Because a lot of the things I remember, the writings that you had and the articles and the speeches that you did, I gone to several. And, in fact, I've spoken with you as we presented at various different functions in Washington, D.C. You know, we've seen each other over the years, and you were here over the holidays, and I apologize we didn't get able to hook up, but I knew you were here, and we got to talk a little bit and schedule for the show. But the thing is that, you know, a lot of the stuff that I remember as a young man in the 90s, 15 years ago, that you were anticipating exactly what was going to happen, how the military and the police were going to be used and what was going to happen, and the impact it was going to have on the economy and our liberties, it happened. You know, so what do you see the next stages are going to be? I mean, I know you kind of anticipated it was going to happen faster, but it's happened in the order that you anticipated. So how close are we to the end here?
Okay, well, boy, George Bush, our last president, and Cheney were under the direction, full direction of the Council on Foreign Relations here, which is a globalist organization. And our phony president, because he's not our president, he's from Kenya. And if you go outside Kenya and you drive into Kenya, you see a big billboard that says, "Welcome to Kenya, the birthplace of Obama," and a big billboard outside of Kenya. And we have other evidence to prove, too, he's not our president. He's a phony president. Abomination. We call him Abomination because he's a communist Muslim. He's a communist Muslim, and we've got pictures of him getting down on his towel in the White House and praying to Allah.
Well, you know, I tell you, Jack, you know, the next generation, these voluntarist, leave me aloneist, we don't careist, I'm with them. I don't care who's in the White House. They're not my president or my anything anyway.
That's right, brother.
You know, so I'm telling you, Jack, you know, that they focus on these individuals and so on. Am I allowed to not freaking care? I just want to be left alone. What's the anticipation of that? Is there a hope that we're going to be left alone by any level of government here in the United States? Or are you just waiting for, I don't know, the collapse of its own weight? I mean, what are you preparing? What do you see coming?
Well, Abomination just last week assigned his federal police and intelligence forces to begin targeting Americans opposed to him and his radical communist policies under the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act that was signed in 2007. And so he's coming after my military intel. People told me that he has 500,000 Americans pinpointed already, and a lot of them talk show hosts, to be picked up and put in jail for opposing his government, his communist government. And he's been told by the Council on Foreign Relations, my intel information, to bring us down to third world nation status as a nation, and he's doing very well at that, and put us under a Soviet-style totalitarian military rule. He has UN troops coming in across America right now and Russian troops coming in across America now. And he already has 400,000 foreign troops on our military bases here in the U.S. So when he gets the Soviet-style totalitarian system set up under martial law, he can have the foreign troops start going door-to-door across America. And I've been told that if you're a Christian, that they pull you out in the front yard, give you 2 minutes to deny Christ, give up Christ, and if you don't, they shoot you in the head or take you on the bus to the 800 death camp.
Well, I'm wondering where I'm going to be if I'm denying them. I don't want to take over. I just want to be left alone. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll be right back.
That's right.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, you can see, you know, Jack McLam been around in the early days before the internet, before it was newsletters, it was fax trees, it was going around and speaking to people. And the primary, I would say, group of people that were in opposition to what was happening were, you know, kind of a Christian-oriented militia, patriot, the Constitution. We believe in the Constitution. The Constitution is a divine document that you are violating, and that's where a lot of the Christian right kind of got involved in this constitutional thing, because they were of the opinion that the Constitution, they took that real serious. You know, like oaths and stuff, that was serious business to these people. And then Yeah. And then what happens, and all of a sudden everything that Jack McLam and his friends were predicting started to happen, so they started getting a lot more attention, a lot more respect, and a lot more, what is it that you really know? Because a lot of the people that subscribe to your Aiden Abet newsletter were people in law enforcement and the military that would communicate with you things that they knew were happening to them, were they not?
That's right, yes.
But what were the kind of things that they were telling you?
Well, in the last 5 years, we've had 7 Iraqi war vets come home and get a hold of us and tell us that weekly they were told to put their M16s to the heads of little girls and little boys and blow their brains out, and they can't sleep at night. Every time they try to sleep, they see the heads of little boys and little girls blowing up. These are young kids. And then they have to kill their mom and dad, too. And if they told us, if they refused to do it, within 3 days, they were suicided by the government, and they would send a letter home to the family saying, sorry, your son killed himself. But he didn't. The government did that. And that's why there's such a high rate of suicides today in the government, in the military. And so we have intel coming in all the time. We just had a military intel guy get a hold of me. I was in, I had a top secret clearance in the military and was stationed at these secret intel bases back in the jungles here and there across the world. And I still have contacts there, and they told me that this shooting in Tucson was an Operation Open Eyes mind control assassin. This Jared Lungner was a mind control assassin, just like Timothy McVeigh stated that he was mind controlled. So anyway, we have good information coming in all the time.
Let's get to, you know, because we have a lot of story. You go to Freedom's Phoenix. You know, this is one thing that I've done in anticipation of our show today. What I did is that if you go and you look at the top, it says Freedom's Phoenix morning news dispatch and afternoon dispatch. And because what I had done when we did our shows before, when I used to be on the local morning drive here and such, I would take the morning show's news break. It was, I don't know, CNN or whatever it was, and our Associated Press, and it depends on which station I was on. But they had a news break that was a few minutes, and I kind of left that part of the show so that a decade later, you know, it's years later, 5-7 years later, when you listen to these shows, what you find out is that, you know, the news breaks were so interesting in looking back what was in the news at the time. Bush does this, you know, Ashcroft does that, Rumsfeld's doing whatever, the war is, more bills against your freedoms, blah, 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 and it kind of time stamps it. So what we started doing, we were starting to link to our daily archive. From now on, we're going to put what the news that was sent out on Freedom's Phoenix email dispatch, what was the news that day while I was talking to you. And a lot of it, if you go to Freedom's Phoenix right now, I mean, dang, it's all the stuff that you had been anticipating was coming. So now I'm like, You know, what is your daily activity filled with now? Are you still warning people? I know you have a radio show. You're warning people. Are you preparing? Are you encouraging younger families, more people to come there? Are you being selective and they have to be born-again Christians to go to your county? I mean, what is it that you're advocating people do in light of what's happening now?
Well, to get prepared to go out and fight a good fight. As Ephesians 5:11 says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them, just like you're doing, Ernest, and I'm proud of you for doing that. And back in the Bible, another place it says, stand up against the evil ones and rise up against the workers of iniquity. That's God's own words to us. So I tell them to keep doing that, but also prepare your family now. Get preparation done. Buy your ammunition and weapons today, because one day you may not be able to get them very soon, perhaps, because of things like this shooting here the other day. They're trying to do these events every year or so to make the American people think they need to give up their guns.
You know, one thing that happens, we had a meeting yesterday, and some of the young guys were talking about different projects we're working on. And one of the guys goes, hey, man, you know, you can buy that many rounds, extendable magazines for these. I ordered them, and they were $12 a piece. I'm going, yeehaw. You know, so they had it. We had an article on Freedom's Phoenix today. It was from the Arizona Republic yesterday, saying that the gun dealers, they doubled their Glock sales.
That's
so,
right.
So people are, you know, I don't think they're looking at this as, ooh, I want to be like him. It's just that they could see the capacity of the firearm, and they're going, well, I want one, and they go get it for self-defense.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, they're going, look, I want to have this capacity. I got, you know, guess what? Bad guys have this capacity. I'm a good guy. I should have the capacity the bad guys have. That's the only
right.
way they see it, you know? So any kind of control they try and do on arms controls, it just backfires every time. But there's something else going on. And I don't really, you know, even claim to try and understand it, other than the, you know, freedom's the answer, what's the question? And I just, and even they have this 9-year-old, her father, she was born on 9/11, she's killed, he goes on the CNN, and they were trying to get him to say that we need more gun control and the internet needs to be controlled and all this, you know, rhetoric that's going on.
Right.
And he's like, no, we don't need more restrictions on our freedoms. And they didn't like that. So what happens is that now I think this is more focused on, I'm sure there'll be some gun stuff going, but I don't think that's going to flush with the American people. So I think what's going to happen is they're really looking to get more controls on what we say and what we do and
that's
what we
exactly
publish.
That's exactly what Obama Nation is trying to do right now with his violent radicalization and homegrown terrorism prevention act. And he has his federal police and intelligence forces out there targeting Americans right now that opposed him and his communist government today.
Well, you know, let's talk about that for a second. And you've known me a long time. And mine is, I'm like, you're still voting? I mean, you know, I don't care. And you put Obama, the next guy after him, and the next guy after him, am I allowed not to care? And I just don't acknowledge him. I'm, you know, what's going to happen is a free market of ideas will prevail. People will start to trade in whatever things of value that outside of the Federal Reserve. They're going to start just ignoring law or trying to at least avoid them. You know, the big thing, people that get into arguments with police officers, you know, blah, 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 to protest. You know, why are you wasting your time with them? I mean, you know, even the police trainer we had on yesterday, he was saying, yeah, no, you're wasting time. These guys are already corrupted. I mean, they're done. You know, so what do? You go to Idaho. That's what you do. You go hide. You go just try and survive this thing. And is that one of your strategies, is just to survive and be able to, you know, breathe in and out after this?
Well, no, we're going to take the war to them if they bring the war to us. So we're getting ready to fight. You know, and so we didn't go up there to hide. We just went up to an area where we could possibly survive better than in the cities. They're going to lock down the cities very soon. And put everybody there under this totalitarian system.
Wow.
Listen, you know, I've got to go, brother.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Jack. It's been great,
brother.
Spending time with you. Goodbye.
Ernest, thank you so much for what you're doing for God and America, brother. I love you.
It's my pleasure, and it's
okay.
Always good to talk to you. Be
God
well.
Bless you. Take care.
Yeah, we'll be back. I tell you, you know, this is what, you know, the mindset of a lot of people are. They're going, no, here and no further. And as you get later in life, it's going to be the grandpas and the great-grandpas that, you know what, I'm staying right here. What happens then? This is Ernest Hancock. I'm publisher of freedomsphoenix.com and the radio talk show host of Declare Your Independence. Now, I want to give you my personal endorsement of a wealthy U.S. citizen that is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He's produced a video for you. It's a real eye-opener, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to watch it. www.endofamerica1and7.com. endofamerica17.com. This video has the history of how we got where we are now and where we're going and why. Now, it's a lengthy video. It'll be about 20 minutes, but you need to watch this so you understand what's going to happen to this country and how you can protect your wealth and even benefit financially. Now, you go there. It's free. I want you to watch this video. You need to have this information so that you can survive the economic collapse that's coming to America. It's not if, it's when. That's endofamerica1and7.com. After you watch it, you'll understand why I endorsed it.